We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome in, Beaver Nation, to this week's Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend for Beaver Nation. Fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hom Kombucha. And before we visit with Kefense Hinson, recently promoted to passing game coordinator, along with his already existing title as wide receivers coach, we have a special message that we'll share with, from Rebecca McCauley from Our Beaver Nation and OurBeaverNation.com, in an effort that is ongoing this week and in this time period with Oregon State's, I think, admirable, generous decision to take care of seniors who will choose to return for their senior year in spring sports after, of course, all of the our world was interrupted, and theirs in particular. Rebecca McCauley and the rest of the folks at Our Beaver Nation have been reaching out to you, but this is another means to get the word out about how Our Beaver Nation and Scott Barnes and the athletic department is attempting to take care of the student athletes, what it's all about, and how you can help contribute during this very challenging time for all of us. So John and I had a chance to visit with Beck McCauley and just asked her, what can people do right now?
Yeah, so we have a website up. It's ourbeavernation.com/beaverscare. It's got all the information about what this gift to our athletic department would mean to our student athletes and the resources that will be available to them. And I just want to say thank you to the people who have donated thus far. We launched this campaign about a week ago, and we understand that it is a challenging time for everybody. And to see our fans and supporters come together and give to our student athletes is just so impactful. We use the word team a lot, and in my mind, team is our student athletes, it's our athletic staff, it's our coaches, our trainers, and it's our fans who come out every every home game, whether that's at Goss, whether that's over at Kelly Field for softball, or if that's in Reser Stadium, and show our student athletes so much love and support. And so I'm really proud to see that they've stepped up to this challenge, and we're seeing their commitment to them through donations at this time.
Again, our thanks to Rebecca McCauley. You can listen to the whole interview at kejoam.com. But for the purposes of this week's Beaver Sports Podcast, Rebecca with an important message to all of Beaver Nation. Check out ourbeavernation.com/beaverscare to find out more and to get involved and contribute if you have the means to do so right now. It would be greatly appreciated, certainly by everyone in Oregon State Athletics, but in particular, the student athletes and those who are coming back for their senior years. Your help would be greatly appreciated. ourbeavernation.com/beaverscare. Kofense Hinson, our guest on this week's Beaver Sports Podcast. Kofense, like the rest of us, thrown into a whole new world in terms of how to function day to day. And Kofense, I just wonder, with your recent title, passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach, you get a chance still virtually through Zoom to work with your student athletes. And I'm just wondering if you feel like necessity has led to finding a rhythm in a new way, and how are you adapting to this whole new world? How's that going?
Yeah. No, we have. It's been interesting, to say the least. For me, the biggest thing is just, you know, watching the news and seeing how it's affected other places. You know, we've been fortunate. You know, everybody's healthy. So you keep it all in perspective, but, we've gotten into a routine, and, I'm as productive, I think, at home as I would be in the office. The technology that we've got, it allows us to really do pretty much any and everything we would be doing from a day to day in the office. The only thing is, you know, this time of year we'd be spring recruiting. So I'd be somewhere in California, Texas, or somewhere, you know, pounding the pavement. But aside from that, yeah, I've been able to kind of plan my day, you know, and been pretty disciplined and trying to stick to a routine. And it could be worse, that's for sure.
Hi, Coach. John Warren with Mike Parker here on the podcast. Congratulations, and what does it mean to be given the position of passing game coordinator?
Appreciate it. Well, I think my role has always been kind of I work with Coach Lingren, and Brian's the offensive coordinator. He's going to call the plays on game day. And but when Brian, you know, wants a suggestion on a pass play, or when we game plan, he and I sit down and we really come up with the plan for kind of how we want to attack the opposing defense throwing the ball. And so I've kind of been doing that since I've been here. And I think Coach Smith just wanted to kind of validate what I had already been doing. And so, you know, the title is awesome. I think it's great to have a coordinator title of some sort. In terms of the day-to-day, I don't know that it'll change my role too much. It just kind of was something that I think, and I'm appreciative of Coach Smith allowing me to have that title. But I don't know that the day-to-day will change.
Yeah.
It'll still be pretty much the same.
But does it allow you to delve more into game planning each week than you probably would have?
It will, in the sense that I think, the responsibilities of how we break that up ultimately fall on Brian and Coach Smith. But I do think, you know, some opportunities maybe to present to the team, install plays to the team, to the offense in particular. And that some of that is to be determined kind of as we go through, if we get any practices before fall camp, or if we have fall camp in the season. Just kind of establishing those roles. But I think a lot of that I was doing already. And so I think that if anything, it just kind of validates what I'd already been doing.
Kofense Hinson, our guest on this week's Beaver Sports Podcast. Kofensky, kind of going back, and in podcasts, we like to kind of, we have a little more free form and a little bit more time, and we appreciate some of your time today. In playing at Willamette as a three-time Northwest Conference defensive back, playing at Willamette University in Salem, coming from Oakland to play your college football there. How valuable, even now looking back to that time period, was being on the other side of the ball as much as you were as a player in terms of now things you try to pass on to folks trying to beat defensive backs?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When I played, my head coach was Mark Speckman, and, I was a DB, typical DB, hated receivers, wanted no part of that. And when I wanted to get into coaching, I didn't want to coach offense. I wanted to coach DBs and be a defensive coordinator. And that was where my passion was. And Mark Speckman, who I played for at Willamette, he pretty much said, "Hey, I want you to help with the receivers." And that was like blasphemous to me, And he said, "Well, you may end up coaching DBs for the next 40 years, and that's okay." He said, "But working on offense will give you a different perspective on defense." Mm-hmm. And so, I never forgot that. And I ended up, obviously my career has been on the offensive side, but it does. It gives me some insight, a little bit of the why when we look at defenses. I think as an offensive coach, you have to know defense. When we sit in there and try to figure out ways to score points, if we don't have an idea of what the defense is thinking, why they're doing what they're doing, how they're going to react based on what we do, then you're really just kind of grabbing straws and guessing. And so, falling back on my knowledge as a player when I was playing defense and what my defensive coaches taught me, and then when I was coaching defense. I mean, my first job in coaching was defensive backs, and so I do have a background on that side of the ball. I don't have as much time to spend studying it as I'd like, and that's one of the things that this new life, this new normal we got going now has allowed me to do, is really take a couple days and just dive into my defensive coaching roots so I can be a better teacher for the guys I'm coaching now. But it was huge. And I think any young coach, that's the first thing I suggest for them, is go coach on the other side of the ball and mm-hmm. learn that, because it'll stay with you forever.
And coach, don't you also, in Jonathan Smith's system, take time to coach or at least speak with the other side of the ball? I know we had another coach on who said, "Yeah, we'll talk to the other side to say, here's what we're trying to do to you guys." Do you guys dabble in that as a coaching staff?
We do. And it's a way for us to kind of change up some meetings and also just increase our football IQ, because I just think you get so tied into your position and what you're teaching and your technique that you sometimes forget about how that relates to what the other guy is trying to do. And we do that as coaches. I like to go talk to Coach Blue Adams and, "Hey, when we do this, how does that affect you? And when this guy does that, where are those guys' eyes?" And because that's just how you build the best mousetrap. And we don't keep secrets in there. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to win as a team. And so, yeah, we absolutely do that. We do it all the time. And I think it's good to have a voice across, on the other side of the ball, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's how you become a good team, is when coaches coach and feel invested in all the players and not just my little world of the receivers. And so it really helps our players learn football. And I think the more, I'm into knowledge, I think knowledge is power. And the smarter football team you have, the better the results will be on Saturdays.
Wide receivers coach and now passing game coordinator Kofensky Hinson joining us here on the Beaver Sports Podcast. A minute ago, you mentioned you played for Coach Mark Speckman. I just want to clear something up. Did Mark Speckman invent or come up with the fly sweep?
He was the first guy who built an offense around it, is how I understand it. I think there have been a lot of guys who have taken credit for it and tried to, I just know in the 80s, Mark Speckman, he was coaching high school football. He was the first guy to put an offensive system together in terms of not just the sweep, but the belly off of it and the counter off of that and the pass game and the traps. And, if you talk football with Mark Speckman and you talk fly sweep, that's a pebble of the entire offense. And so obviously that play has taken off, and everybody runs the actual suite per se. But just having a whole system of football off of it, Mark Speckman was the first person to do that, as far as I know.
It is.
I'm 38 years old, too, so I might be the wrong person to ask.
It is interesting, though, isn't it, Kofensi? Whenever you start talking, and football coaches do, I mean, even you could – Bill Belichick may be taciturn, but if you ask Bill about the origins of the wing tee or the single wing or the wishbone, I mean, Bill will talk forever about the history of formations and strategies, and arguments will ensue about who did what first. You know, did Daryl Royal even gave credit, brought the wishbone to Texas, but he didn't invent it. I can't remember the name of the coach that did, but it's important. To have a sense, it seems, to coaches don't want to take credit. I don't know about Speckman and whether he felt like it was his baby, the fly, not just the fly sweep, the whole offense that he called the fly, but origins and formations and strategies. That's a pretty important thing in your world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I just think, you know, I'm a football junkie. I mean, I like to know the who and the why and how, and it is important, and I think it's important so you learn, you know. Like, I know who to go to, you know. Mm-hmm. When you talk any genre of football, I think it's important to just get a foundation. And, you know, I was a small college coach for longer than I've been at the FBS level. And, you know, when you're coaching at small college, you don't necessarily, at least I didn't. I was a D3 guy. I didn't have a huge network of big-time NFL college coaches, but I watched a lot of football, and I would you kind of put the family trees together, you know. I can remember when I was coaching at Western Washington, and we had a miserable first season, my first year as offensive coordinator. We were terrible. And it was really just because we were running plays and didn't have a system. You know, we just took a bunch of stuff we saw and liked, and it didn't work. But I'd always liked the Denver Broncos running game. And so I started doing some research on that. You know, how's this zone get? Why does it not matter who's running the ball for Denver Broncos? Every year they got 1,000 yard back. And so, I just started putting in, and I realized that, you know, Tom Cable was a guy who was kind of the zone guy. And Alex Gibbs taught him that. And I didn't know Alex Gibbs or anybody that knew Alex Gibbs, but I knew a guy that knew a guy that knew Tom Cable. Mm-hmm. And through, you know, the football world, I was able to meet with Tom Cable and kind of learn that a little bit. And so that's the value of that to me, is that, you know, if you know Mark Speckman is the fly sweep guy and you want to learn about the fly sweep, go talk to Mark Speckman.
Yeah.
You know? And I think in order to get that knowledge from the source, you got to do some homework and figure that stuff out. And a lot of times it's not the guys who are proclaiming that they are that.
Right. When you moved from, you said most of your background was D3 small college level. And then when you moved into coaching at this level, Power Five, were you feeling like you just hit the lottery as far as, you know, top line athletes, like moving from a Volkswagen shop to a Cadillac store?
Yeah. And I say that, you know, I would say there were more top line athletes. And I had some guys at some other places that were really good players. They could have played at the Power Five, but you don't have a room full of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not recruiting those guys every year. And there's usually a story as to why you get them. But to be able to recruit that way and to be able to coach guys that way, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was interesting from a physical standpoint. But to be honest, you know, that was the only difference in terms of the job. I mean, kids got the same problems. They got the same goals. They got the same wants and needs at every level. But some of them are just, you know, at this level, they're different physically. And that's a true statement, definitely.
Kofensi, before we close here in a few minutes with just some thoughts and the hopeful thoughts we have about a 2020 season and the group that you are working with even now in these different sort of times, you're still working with them as much as you can in the 8 hours a week that are available to you guys. But before we move on to the group for 2020, however that's going to look, your thoughts about the opportunity ahead for Isaiah Hodgins, drafted in the sixth round last week by Buffalo. What it was like to work with Isaiah, and perhaps why you might be sanguine about his chances to be an NFL guy just based on the work ethic and all of the things you saw and how you helped him develop, but what he brought with him, what you tried to encourage in him, and your thoughts about Isaiah's next step.
Yeah, no, I love Isaiah Hodgins. He was a joy to coach. Just a guy who was humble, but super competitive and confident, but also knew what he didn't know and wanted to be great and wanted to take any avenue to do that, that he knew was positive and that could help him. He was great that way. So I think those traits will be good for him anywhere. And so that'll show up at the next level. He's going to get in that meeting room and he's going to find the veteran guys. He's going to wear Stephon Diggs out. And he's going to figure out real quick why the guys that are successful in the NFL are successful and emulate that. Obviously he's got some physical talent and he's gifted that way, but the mental side of it is what will make him, I think, a really good pro. And so I was just fortunate to be able to help him and just be a sounding board for him and somebody to bounce ideas off of him and really work with him to help him achieve his goal. You know, I think when we first got here, I don't know if it was just specific to Isaiah Hodgins, but I think our whole team had a little bit of a confidence issue just in terms of competing consistently with the teams that we were playing. And I saw that go away as the 2 years passed. And so I'm excited about where we're going. And obviously we got a lot of firepower we got to replace on offense, but I do think we got some guys that are more than capable of stepping up. And, I just think you never replace players. You know, guys are special for reasons they're special. And it's our job as coaches is to figure out why these next group of guys are special and put them in positions to be successful like we did the last group. And I think we got some guys that can do that. And we got some guys that are better off for sharing the meeting room with Isaiah Hodgins. So he'll be missed, but he's off to, a really bright future. And I'm excited to see his journey. And I'm proud to, have helped him any way that I did.
Final thing, Coach, and that is just looking ahead to who you are charged to work with now. Isaiah no longer in the room, but the contributions he made will linger and be evident in the work that you and your room, so to speak, with Tyjon Lindsey and Colby Taylor and Trevon Bradford and Champ Flemings and Josiah Irish. Those are guys who come to my mind immediately, but there certainly are others, more, some newcomers. What are your thoughts about the overall group and just a sense of excitement, expectation, hope that you have for the group that you're working with now and going forward?
Well, I'm really excited and I'm happy that there's an opportunity now for some of those guys to get a bigger role. And, obviously Isaiah was a great player, but, there's only one football to go around. And so there's an opportunity now for guys. And I think you said a lot of those guys. I mean, I think, starting with Colby Taylor, I think Colby is a guy who has consistently been a really good football player for us. And I'm excited for him to get a bigger role and more opportunities and to kind of expand his role and what he does for us. And I know he's ready to do that. I'm excited to see him do it. Champ Flemings is a guy who's made a lot of plays for us. Last year he made a lot of plays for us and made some big plays. And he'll have a bigger role. And Tyjon Lindsey's a year older and in the system. I think he's going to have a really good year. Trevon Bradford is a guy who's made a lot of plays in the Pac-12. I think he's ready to kind of be the guy and have an opportunity to be the guy. And I'm fired up about that. Josiah, I feel like he's grown. I think that he's learned the offense, and I feel like he's going to be able to play fast and think less and just kind of cut it loose. And he's going to be a good player. And I'm excited to see him get on the field and do that. We got a guy, Anthony Gould. I think Ant, we redshirted Ant, but I think Ant might be the fastest guy on our team. And he's going to give us something. And he's a smart, tough football player. And I think he's ready to contribute. I think a guy like Ishaan Stewart, who's got some speed and some ability, and you know, he's battled some injuries, but he's in a good place right now. So we've got a lot of guys, and we got, you know, Trayshawn Harrison's a guy that if he's eligible next year to play with the transfer piece, he's another guy that, you know, he's played 2 years of big time football and made big time plays, and I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do and embrace the opportunity. And so, you know, we got guys in that room that'll help us. You know, Zariah Beeson, freshman, got here early, learning the offense. He's working. All he does is work. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he found the role as a freshman. And we got some guys that will help and continue to develop. And so I'm really excited. I love the group. I think we're more than capable of being pretty good in that room. And we got a lot of guys with diverse skill sets. And it'll be fun. It'll be a fun group to follow and watch this fall, I think.
Kafensi, we are hopeful of following you and them this fall on football fields near and dear to us, including our own Reser Stadium, and we certainly are hopeful that we're able to play it out as scheduled in 2020. In the meantime, thank you for the work you and all the coaches, and not only the coaches, strength and conditioning, the nutrition, the team doctors, all of the folks that are making life go on in the way that it's been. We appreciate those efforts, Kafensi. Thank you for your part in it and for taking time for us this week on the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Kafensi. We'll talk again soon. Kafensi Hinson, our guest on this week's edition. And we have a number of great sponsors. You're going to give one a very quick line about how long they've been around.
Yeah. Well, that's Lacrosse Boots. Done right. Since 1897.
How about that, Johnny? 1897. That
means my grandpa was born.
That year?
Yeah.
2 years after Babe Ruth was born, I think. So,
yes.
Lacrosse Boots has been doing it right since 1897, which means they survived the pandemic in 1918 to carry on.
That's
and
right.
And they're still with us. So they're with us now through this challenging era, as well as is Visit Corvallis. When you check out visitcorvallis.com right now, today, they have a lot of ways that you can help. You can visit Corvallis virtually, but a number of great suggestions about how you can help and different groups that you can help right now and the things that the community of Corvallis is doing, businesses and so on, nonprofits in the community and elsewhere. Visit Corvallis virtually right now at visitcorvallis.com. Check it out. You'll see some great things there. That's going to do it for this edition. Our thanks to Rebecca McCauley. And our thanks to Kafensi Hinson for joining us. And for John Warren, this is Mike Parker. We'll do it again next week. Check out the classic Beaver game this week, the Beaver football classic featuring the Beavers win over Utah and Salt Lake City, Mannion to Cooks in 2013. That'll do it for this week. Talk to you again next week for another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.